in the service, and I'm going to be you. Kids bring something special, don't they? Something supernatural. You know, we've been talking about releasing them, and that's what Pastor Tim started last week. And last week, he left us with a mandate. He asked us to do something. Everything depends upon my personal relationship with God. He asked every one of us that were here last week or that were listening online, he asked us to have personal time with God this week. So this last week, he asked us to do it. Have encounters with God. And he said you can do it at the poker table. Listen, my grandmother once gave me $5 to make all my cousins quit playing spades. We were only playing like a penny a point. It wasn't a lot of money. And I said, that's a lot more money than I'm making at spades. You bet they'll quit. And I threatened them with their life, and they all quit. I don't know why she asked us to quit. I didn't know it was a devil game because it had cards. She didn't tell me that part. But, you know, isn't it true? So this week, did you do it? Did you spend some time with the Lord? Did you have times where you cut out of your day for the most important thing you ever do? Listen, I want to tell you, it's almost like if you're getting ready to cross a desert and there's a gas station at the edge of the desert when you start, you know, it would behoove you to fill your tank up. Check the air in your tires. Check your radiator before you get out in the desert. Listen, I want to let you know a little secret. Listen, you are going to need the supernatural power of God in your life this week. Listen, I don't have to guess. Have you looked at what's going on in our economy? Have you looked at inflation? Have you ever thought about how much taxes you pay out of your Caitlin? I mean, out of your salary each week? You don't. You like, have you thought about that? Have you had problems with your children? Have you ever? Yeah. What? What about your spouse? What about your neighbor? What about your retirement? Are you ready for it? Is your 401k okay? Are your investments okay? Are you sure? You know what? Before this week's out, you're going to need supernatural power in your life. Listen, God, there's a secret I want to let you in on today. And we're going to talk about releasing them. I don't know that the freedom that God gave us and gave us on earth isn't the most powerful thing in the world. And I want to show you today why it's so important. Because without freedom, there's no love. And without love, there's no relationship. And without relationship, there's no power. And so today, I want to talk about the keys to that. Wouldn't you like it if you didn't have to worry about tomorrow? What if you didn't have to worry about whether you're making good decisions or bad decisions, whether your investments were okay, whether your job was going to be here next week? What if I could guarantee you, give you the keys to not have to worry about your future? And there is a place, and I want to share that with you today, and I feel like I should whisper it. Like, you know, we don't want the rest of the world to know where this power comes from, because there's a power available to us, to all of us. Every human on earth, this power is available to them too. And it's there and it's free. And I want to talk about it today. I want to talk about why is that so important? Why is releasing, you know, setting people free? God set us free. Why is that so critical to His purpose and His plan for the earth? And I want to talk about that today and show you some stuff. And I love this verse, right? If you've been around much, you've heard me say this verse because it's the power of God unto salvation. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Paul said in Romans 1:16. For it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. It's the power of God that brings salvation, and that salvation is the bigger word. It's not just salvation to not go to hell and to go to heaven at the end of your life. It's salvation for the world. God, it's a salvation for your job. It's salvation for your mind. It's salvation for your body. It's salvation for your relationships. When you have a question you don't know the answer to, this is where it comes from. And you need the power of God. And I want to show you today in the scriptures some ways of looking some things that will let you do this. Now listen, It's for him who believes. It's for him who believes, right? So if let's say you've got a financial need. You have to buy new tires for your car, and they're going to be $800. Used to be $400. Now they're $800. And you don't have the money, but you got to have them. And so you start praying, and you start praying, and you start doing all those things, and you start, and all of a sudden, you just feel in your spirit that God's got this thing. You don't know where the money's coming from. You don't see the tires. They're not on your car yet, but you know, I believe God's going to take care of this desperate need in my life. I just believe it. And so you hang on. Now, where does the power of God get released in those who believe? It's called faith, right? Faith is a substance of things hoped for. So, and then all of a sudden, just somebody you did something for 2 years ago that you just did it to bless them, they call you and they say, listen, I just really feel like, I don't know why, I just feel like I'm supposed to buy you some new tires. Do you need new tires? You're like, cha-ching! And they take you down to the store and they get your tires, they get installed, and you know what? You don't have faith anymore. Right? Because now you know. Faith is only if you don't have it. Once you have it, it's not faith, it's knowing. Well, God said He releases His power in those people who believe. And we all need the power of God working in our lives. And you've got to realize something. You're not talking about today. What you're doing today, you having a relationship with God today, may not come to fruition for 10 years. But every day it's building and it's building and it's building. I was amazed. I look at some of the stuff going on in our world and it's like, parents, I want to let you know, you need to raise your children. They need an education. They need to learn discipline. They need to learn self-control. There are things you can impart into your kids. We don't just turn kids free. So let's do this. We decided we're going to turn kids totally free. If they don't want to learn, they don't have to learn. If they don't want to work, they don't have to work. Okay, here's what we do. Let's all start over from scratch, every one of us, every time we're born. Well, okay, so here's what that looks like. We're getting rid of all electricity because we're starting over, remember? Somebody did the work and developed electricity. But we don't believe in learning from the past, so we're going to start new and fresh today. The whole world is going to start over again, and we're just going to be naked out in the middle of the woods. Listen, that's besides the visual part. That's just bad. You know what? Air conditioning. I don't want to start over. Listen, one of you young people better learn how to work on AC units because we need it. You see, that's not what life is like. And I tell you, it's believing. You have to have faith that what you're doing today is going to impact your future. And so today I want to talk about this. Why is this true? Why is it the most important thing we have to do every day? And that's our personal. I love Pastor Tim emphasized that. That was his main point last week. God released us so that now, really, since Jesus rose from the dead, the first time in human history, we can have a personal relationship with God. It is the single most important thing you and I do every day. Every day. And it's by faith. Do you believe? You see, the foundation of the gospel is freedom. Without freedom, there's no love. And without love, there's no relationship. And there's no gospel. The gospel set us free. So I want to show you some verses. Freedom is the foundational that personal relationship with God is built upon. You can't coerce it. You can't force love. It's freedom. Freedom. And Tim asked us last week, unconditional love is the foundation of it is freedom. You know, I think the reason most of us that Pastor Tim was talking about last week that we fail with unconditional love is because our unconditional love doesn't let people free. We have expectations. When we love, we expect back. And we don't set them free. Yeah, but if I set them free, they're going to hurt themselves, and that breaks my, it breaks what? My heart. Oh, so it's really about your heart, not about them. See, Jesus set us free. And it hurts. Giving people freedom hurts if you care. If you love them, it hurts. So I want to look at this. I just want to start at the foundation. We're going to start at the very beginning because I think we have to understand what God's saying here. Because you need to understand. Guys, I think this social scientists have proven that grateful people are healthier physically, happier emotionally, live longer, are more productive and more successful. Grateful people. Like, do you realize that? Like I was just reading Revelations about how grateful they were when they were wanting to open the seals, and there was no one found in all of the eternity that could open the seals. And then they found a lamb that could open the seals. And I'm going to tell you, heaven exploded in gratefulness when that lamb came. How grateful are you for that Jesus set you free? Do you even think about it? You see, I think gratefulness is a big deal. I think as a people, we live in this entitled world. Listen, I don't even know who invented air conditioning, but if I did, I would send them roses. I don't know. You know, it's like, I'm grateful for that person, that man or that woman who dedicated themselves to whatever it took to make this happen. You see, we're not that way in the spiritual realm. Freedom. Is so important. Releasing them is part of our the foundation of what we believe God has called us to be, is a people that release people. And then we're going to talk about that. So here's the beginning. This is how it all started. Guys, put on your thinking hats, okay? I'm going to go fast through these, and I know this is the way I see it, okay? And it's not the only way to see Genesis. But when you look at Genesis, God said, let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and the livestock and all that. And then God said, we created mankind in his own image. And in the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky. Listen, God put us on the earth to bring dominion. He created humans, Adam and Eve and all of us, to bring his will and his purposes to the earth. That's all air conditioning is some human brought dominion over the hot air. It's amazing. We brought dominion over the darkness by lights and electricity. We bring dominion. We produce more food now in the history of the world. We can feed 7 billion people. Our farmers are amazing. Guys, you were created to bring dominion in your world. You were created to bring peace and order and love and purpose. And you were created to do that. And you know what? Don't you hate chaos? Don't you hate drama? It's just horrible. Listen, you're supposed to have dominion over everything you complain about. Because that's God made you for that. He made us to rule and reign in our world, to bring peace and love, joy, purpose. That's who we are. Well, what happened to the power? You're like, listen, I'm not stupid. I know that there's lots of things going on in my life and your life that we don't have dominion over. I don't even, there's lots of parts of me. God, where's that power you promised me on me? I don't have dominion over me. What's going on? So I want to help you see this through the Lord's eyes, that this really is God's purpose, and we were created to do that. But you guys know this, and God did, but for there to be love, there has to be freedom. God released Adam and Eve. He created them, he brought them on earth, and he released them. You know what he did? He gave a choice in the garden. He said, guys, you can eat anything in this garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He had to give a choice. Without choice, no love. So they had a choice. that choice was there. They were free. God created everything free. And they were created free. And God knew what he was doing. He knew before our world was created, he, Jesus, and Holy Spirit had decided that Jesus would die to set the captives free. So, y'all know what happened. We don't have to read the whole thing. I just skipped over it. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I just want you to think about it a second. Without freedom, love does not exist, so there had to be the tree. It was God's decisions. Ask me why, and I'll say, I don't know. God is why. He did it. That he wanted to love us. He didn't want robots. He wanted us to be real. Real. Not computer-generated animations, right? We have the choice to love. Now, we can either live by relationship with him, or we can live by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Which, when I think of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I think of the tree of the knowledge of right and wrong. If I just knew the right thing to do, if I just knew the wrong thing to do, I would do the right thing, I wouldn't do the wrong thing. If I just knew, and then my life would be good. And what happens when you live by that? Death. God told them, guys, don't eat from that tree. And I think it was very intelligent of God to do that. That tree is a tree of rules. He said, you can either live by your relationship with me, or you can live by rules. By your own wisdom, your own way. And so Adam and Eve chose a shortcut. You see, I believe they wanted to be like their dad. There wasn't anything in them that made them want to usurp God or take his place or be worshipped like him. There was nothing in them. I think the natural desires inside of them. I was watching, where's Camille? There she is. Hi, Camille. I'm not going to make fun of you today, but I am a little bit. But Camille, I was watching last week in worship, I was watching Camille worship. And y'all know we all do the same things sort of over and over. I mean, most of us do. So Camille was worshiping, and she was doing this step thing. You remember, Camille? You're sort of doing this step thing. And then I looked at the Carillion kids and the Rutherford kids, and they're all watching Camille because she's an adult to them, right? She's 13. My gosh, that's old. She's 13. I looked over there, and all of those kids were going, just like Camille, those evil children. They're evil. No, they're not. They just want to be like, you know, we do too. So Adam and Eve wanted to be like God. Their dad, they loved him. They admired him. And Satan, of course, you know Satan, right? Now the serpent, he was crafty. He was cunning. He knew. He watched them. You know the devil does that to you too. He watches you to see what your desires are, and then he'll give you a shortcut to your desires. Like, you know what, for the last few weeks, he's been tempting me with wanting me to pick up a guitar and learn to play guitar and sing. No, no, not once have I had that thought. I'm not gifted like that. It's not a temptation to me. Now, did I look at the woods a couple of times and think about going out in the woods? Yeah, I thought about it. Until I looked at the temperature, I said, it's not a good day to be in a swamp. But you know, you get tempted with what you're gifted with. He tempted them. He was crafty, right? He said, guys, listen, did God really say this? And then he said, God knows you'd become wise like him if you'd eat this. Hello, shortcut. Hello, self-effort that doesn't involve a relationship. There's no union with God involved. There's mental assent to good and evil. And so, now here's a big question, super big question. Did Adam and Eve have the strength? Now I want you to think about this. Did they have the ability inside of themselves to resist the marshmallow test? Y'all know what the marshmallow test is? 1972? You need to study psychology more. It's like very interesting. So I need a kid. Yeah, super kid. Come up here. Kid, come here, come here, come here. I need a kid. Yes, she's 4 years old, so let's don't get too excited. Don't expect too much out of her. Now, here you go, honey. Would you just sit down right here? I want to do something. Could you help me? Okay, let me scoot you up. All right. Now, listen. Here's what we're going to try. It's like, did you know that they determine they can actually judge your future success as a person based on this test? Because if you have the self-control, the inner self-control, to not demand everything instantly, then in the future, you'll be able to work hard for things that are out there and not fall for the temptation. It's like you can take $1,000 and blow it today, or you can invest it, and in 30 years, that'll be worth $12,000. Which would you rather have? You can get an education and become someone makes a lot of money. You can become a plumber, and you can spend 5 years becoming a plumber and make $100,000 a year, or you can spend 5 years working for $12 an hour and make $12 an hour in 5 years. You see, so here's what we're going to do. So this is a test. They did this test. It's very cool. Here's the test. So, hi, Jen. You see this marshmallow? Do you like marshmallows? Yeah, I know. Listen, okay, just put it right here. Now listen, if you can wait, look at me. If you can wait, can you take the mask off? Okay. I know you're a super kid, but there we go. Do you feel better? Okay. If you can wait until my timer goes off and not eat the marshmallow, I'll give you another marshmallow, and then you'll have two. Okay? All right, so let me set my timer. I'm gonna set my timer. I'll just put the marshmallows right here. And when my timer goes off, if you haven't eaten the marshmallow, I will give you another one, okay? All right. So I put my timer on. I'm just going to keep going, and you just sit right there, okay? Just ignore me, all right? So, did Adam and Eve have the inner strength to pass the marshmallow test, right? So, that's the question. Since everything, now by faith, I believe this is true. I think everything in your life depends upon your relationship with Him. And not a past relationship, your current relationship connecting with Him on the inside. Something is transforming in your life, and releasing them is the foundation that personal relationship with God is built upon. So in our vision statement as a church, we want to be a church who releases people. We want to do what God does. This is how He did. He released every one of you when He released Adam and Eve. Now, what happened? You guys know what happened, right? The devil came. I don't want to read this one yet. I don't want y'all to get done there. So what had happened? Satan tempted them. They didn't have the inner strength to say no. And they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Listen, she gets two if she doesn't. You've been eating them a lot, I can tell. I know. Right, what happened? They ate. And then what happened when they ate, right? That's the big question. Did they become dirty? Did they become bad? No, you know what happened? They became in bondage. Satan, the tempter, they had authority. Adam and Eve had authority and power and dominion over the earth and everything in it. Not just the animals and birds and fish, over the whole earth, the atmosphere, the rain, everything. They had dominion, and God said, subdue it. And then they gave that up the moment they listened to His shortcut. You see, and they became captives. And this is what we have to understand. When the devil, and Jesus, when He went out into the desert after being baptized in the Jordan River with John the Baptist, it says He went in the desert, He fasted and prayed for 40 days and nights. And it says, at the end of that time, the devil came to Him. Yeah, Satan came to talk to Him. And the devil led Him up to a high place. This is one of the temptations. The devil led Him up to a high place and showed Him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to Jesus, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I... Oh, the timer. Let's check on her. Wow, you did really good. Okay, you get another one. You don't have to eat them right now. You can wait till later. That's good. That's good. Thank you. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You did well. Watch out for the... You think she's on a sugar high now, right? She did good. Adam and Eve didn't make it. You know why they didn't make it? They gave up their authority. They became slaves to darkness. Think about that. They didn't become bad. That isn't what happened. That's what most of us were told. That's what most of us have believed our whole lives. That's not true. They gave up their authority. Now look, the devil took Jesus up into a high place. He said, I will give you all their authority and splendor. Why could he do that? Because Adam and Eve had given it to him. And he had had it for thousands of years. And Jesus came to redeem us, to set the captives free. So, Jesus, of course, he didn't eat the marshmallow. He didn't eat it. He said, no, I'm not going to take a shortcut. I'm going with my dad. And so Jesus didn't take the shortcut. You see, we were created poor. Adam and Eve were created poor. You know, poor just meant lacking resources. They didn't have the resources inside of themselves to say no to the tempter. They didn't have the ability inside of themselves to say no to him. And God knew that. God knew that one day his son had already decided, I'm going to come and I'm going to come back and I'm going to give my life to set these captives free. They're giving up their lives right now, but I'm going to get it back. And so what about you and me? The truth is, you don't have the resources inside of you to accomplish everything God's put you on earth to accomplish. You don't have the resources, just like I don't, even to become the kind of person God has given me the opportunity to become. You don't have the knowledge, the wisdom. You don't have it without His supernatural power working inside of you. You see, we don't have the mental capacity to bring dominion to the world without His input into us. And it becomes an internal thing, like Jesus said. He said, guys, you wash the outside and you think that's wonderful. You're just a tomb waiting for somebody to fall in. Take care of the inside. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to transform our minds. And we're not bad. We became captives. That literally means someone that was taken captive by a foreign entity. Adam and Eve and every human after that were born in captivity. Born. You know, it's funny. Our inner nature did not change at that time. Our outward control did. So the truth is, what Tim said last week is true. We have to have connection with our Father. Not just an occasional input, not just an outward voice telling us what to do. We have to have a connection. We have to be one with Him. Jesus said, I came so that you could be one with me the way I'm one with the Father. And then you can be, well, Father's one with you and you're one with the Father. And when I go away, the Holy Spirit is going to come in you. You see, Jennifer was amazing. I don't know how she resisted that marshmallow. Something inside of her was so mature. And she gets all the credit for that maturity. No, she doesn't. Comes from the Lord. Comes from the hours and days and years she spent in relationship connecting with Him. To be one with God is our goal. It's where your life comes from. That's why Jesus said, I'm a vine, you're the branches. Jesus said, take this flesh and eat it. Take my blood and drink it. I'm your source of life. It's the secret the world doesn't know about. And we keep wanting to do the outward thing without worrying about the inward thing. And where the outward thing is totally affected by the inward thing. You know, if I ate all the chocolate cake and ice cream I wanted to eat every day, like, I mean, I really do like it. You know what? I could eat it and eat it and eat it and eat it and eat it, and you guys couldn't even tell I ate it. Oh, yes, you could. When I hit 350 pounds, you could tell. My inward thing becomes an outward thing. Well, that's true in the spirit realm 1,000 times over. Way more. So, here we go. Oh, that's Jacob and Camille, two of my grandchildren. They get muddy. They're dirty. I think I should trade them in for 2 new ones. No, there's nothing wrong with them that a good water hose won't take care of. I'm not going to trade them in. But we believe that we're bad on the inside because of the dirt that's on the outside. Jesus came to earth, and you know what he did? He set us free, so now we can choose who we have relationship with. He released us. It's the most powerful thing that ever happened on the earth. And when he did, he released us so we could experience unconditional love. I don't know. The two are so tied together. You can put one in front, one behind. You cannot separate those two things. And so when we love people, we release them. We release them to get dirty. And they get dirty. And we release them to be clean. But we release them. Because God said that's the power of God on salvation. That's the gospel. And so unconditional love is about releasing them. Now the truth is, they're not coming in my house that way. They're getting hosed down before they come in the house. That's just true. I may not even let them in the yard. So it's really interesting that this is true. Now look at this. God, we keep thinking we need to go back to the garden. Listen, in the garden, Adam and Eve didn't have the power to say no to the darkness. That didn't happen until Jesus came and died on the cross and rose from the dead. And at that point, he released humanity so we can choose who we're going to listen to. So we can choose who we're going to have relationship with. Jesus set us free. And before that, we weren't free. No human was. Because we didn't have the internal power to live. In him is our life. It's in him we find music and purpose and being, and everything happens on the inside. You see, God has moved you into a better position than Adam and Eve were born into. You have the same call on your life they had to bring dominion to this planet, to everything, with him. But now you can do it because you've got Christ on the inside. And we're the ones who decide that every day. Every day you decide it. That's why it's better. You're in a better spot than Adam and Eve were in. Because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Jesus said, I have to go away. If I don't go away, he won't come. If I go away, he'll come. So now you know that I can choose every moment of my life to connect to God or not. If I don't connect, then I get dirty. On the outside. But it's dirty. I get hooks put in me. I get all this bondage happening, but it's all because of what's happening on the inside. It's not. It shows up on the outside, but it's what's happening in here. And God died so that he could love us and so that we could have a relationship with him. That's why it's better now than when Adam and Eve had it. Now, Jesus came to his disciples when he gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28, right? And he said, guys, I got the keys back. All authority has been given to me. You see, Satan no longer has the right to control your life unless you give it to him. There's sort of like, I don't know, you all of you moms in here that have gone through this or are going through it or are going to go to it, it's right. Sharon was in bondage to having 3 children, right? She was a victim. There was no way she was going to have an encounter with God because she's corralling 3 kids. Then it's like, wait a second. I'm not a victim. I can. And the power of God impacted her, even, and she still had 3 kids. You either are going to, if you're being controlled, when I'm being controlled by the chaos in the world, I'm not a victim. Because Jesus set me free. And nothing outside of me controls inside of me. I'm the one who chooses. Now, you know, the thing is, it's like this marshmallow, though. Can you wait? You know, I think a lot of times we turn our faith to God. We believe, God, you're going to take care of me. I'm running into this. It's hard. God, I trust you. I trust you. I believe. And, you know, we make it about 45 minutes. And the whole time, God already started answering the problem, but we haven't seen the results yet. And so we lose our faith. We don't wait to get the second marshmallow. You know, the truth is, I've discovered a secret. My deepest needs in my life, the deepest pains I have, the moment I turn to God, the moment I turn to Him, I may not see the thing on earth, but I feel better inside. I have something inside of me that's already working. Yeah, but you didn't get your tires yet. I know, but I feel okay. Yeah, but you may never get them. I realize I may never get them on earth, but in heaven, I've got a 65 Corvette waiting on me, right? That's 1965. I realize pretty soon, but you mean 2065 or whatever. No, 1965 Corvette. It's waiting on me in heaven. I feel like I have it now. You see, the second you turn to God and you start believing and trusting the gospel and the power of your relationship with Him, He changes you. Your outward circumstances lose their power. And the power of God to change the world changes us on the inside. And He changes the outside too. And it starts happening instantly because Jesus took the keys back. And He did. And He said, listen, I came here. The first sermon Jesus preached, He said, I've came to preach the gospel to the poor and to proclaim liberty to the captives. Not a one of us on earth is a captive anymore. Everyone on earth, when Jesus rose from the dead. Now here's what happens. Therefore, because of what Jesus did, anyone who comes to Him, anyone who has a personal relationship with Him becomes a new creation. And you know what that word means? It means a new creation, that this is something, a prototype, right? You guys have heard that, some of you have. A new creation is a prototype. A prototype is the first of something that's never existed before. It's the very first one. And here's what's really cool. Every single one of us on the earth, all 6.5 billion of us, every one of us are unique. There's never been another one with our DNA, ever, ever, ever. Never will be. And every time I take my DNA and I give it to Him, my natural, and He gives me His super, and all of a sudden I become supernatural. You see, that's the thing that Jesus created. We can become a new creation. Yeah, every time I have an encounter with Him. Every time my personal relationship with Him determines how much super there is in this natural. I'm not a victim. I am not controlled by anything or anybody else in the world. It's me and Him. And God's super combined with our natural becomes supernatural. So why is it important? Why is your personal relationship with Christ so important? Because every time you do have a personal relationship with Him, you uniquely become a new creation every time. And the world needs us because we are changing the world. Every aspect of it, every part of it. So it's really so important. And Paul's talked a lot about this. He made us alive with Christ. He seated us with Him in heavenly places, ruling and reigning. I want to get to this end. God did it for a reason. You realize your battle is not against people. We don't wrestle people. Our government doesn't wrestle people. Our education system doesn't wrestle people. Our medical providers, pharmaceutical industry isn't about people. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. It's against rulers and against authorities and powers of this dark world. You need super to fight this. You need it. Well, when you need it, You start planting now for the harvest you're going to have in 9 months. Plant. Plant. What do you mean plant? Have a personal relationship with Jesus. Well, how do I do that? By having a personal relationship with Him. You break it down the simple. I break it down to the simplest thing. If I'm trying to have a conversation with God, if I'm trying to follow Him, if I'm trying to hear Him, I'm having a relationship with Him. That's my bottom level thing in my life. It's trying. If I'm talking to Him, I've talked to Him. The more I hurt, the more I talk to Him. It's amazing how that works, isn't it? It's like the more problems I have, the more I talk to Him. That's a relationship. The more you have a relationship, the more you'll be prepared for the battle that's coming. Because you have a battle coming. You have a battle coming. And Jesus equipped you to win that battle. So this whole world is about that. Releasing them. Freedom is the foundation. Unconditional love is the reward. Jesus set the world free. And when we come to Him, we experience unconditional love. And everything depends upon my personal relationship with God. Okay? You got to say that with me, okay? Let's say it together. Everything depends upon my personal relationship with God. True. True. And together, we're changing the world. It's true for you. It's true for everybody who follows Jesus. We're changing the world. So let's keep going. Let's keep living the gospel. Let's keep releasing people to experience God. And when we do, God wins. His power is changing the world, bringing salvation to the whole world. So I'm excited about our future. I'm excited about even exploring more of this and what we're going to do. We're going to talk about this a few more weeks, what releasing them really looks like. What's that look like practically for us? What's it look like for us as a church? What's it look like for us as individuals, as a mom, a dad, a friend, an employee, or a business owner? What's it look like for me? Because I want the power of God in my life. What I've got's not enough. I want the power of God. Amen? So let's all stand up. You know, it's funny. When you think about it, as you live your life, what you do impacts the people around you. You know, it's like we really do appreciate the worship team and the ushers and the people that serve us on Sunday mornings. The truth is, what we receive for them happens because of their relationship personally with God. And they come and they release it here corporately to us, and it impacts us. I was impacted by worship this morning. And it was their relationship with God. God blesses us. He blesses us with that. When we pray for the sick and they're healed, God, that's somebody's personal relationship impacting me. When you say something to me that I go, wow, that is, my life just changed. I've never thought that before. It impacts me. When you give a testimony, it impacts me. Your relationship with God affects me. And my relationship with God affects you. We affect each other. And so when we have ministry time, that's what it's really about. We want our relationship to impact people. And this morning, sometimes we need help. You know, it's almost like getting a tire aired up or getting encouraged that maybe you are making good decisions. Maybe God's got His eyes on you. He loves you. And other people's relationship with God can impact your life. So this morning, I'm going to ask if... I want Harvey, some of the healing team people up here, and I think for physical healing, yeah, we've got some elders. You can come up. If you need a boost from the Lord today, you really do. You need something from Him. These guys have a relationship, and they want to share their relationship with you. If you'd like to turn your life over to the Lord. Maybe living the way you've been living isn't working and you want to live for Him. This would be a good day to do that. And it's the secret to having a good life. So, Father, I just thank You for today and for everything You've done. Jesus, we just say again this week that, God, I just commit to having relationship with you again this week. God, we just release each other to have a personal relationship with you. Every one of us, we release our friends in town, the other churches, God, the other followers of Christ, we just release them to have their own relationship with you. So God, we just thank you. God, we're grateful for the way the world has been growing and changing. And Lord, I'm just grateful for all that you've done for the last few thousand years. We just thank you, King. Amen. Amen. So you're dismissed. Thank you for being here. God bless you guys. Have a good week.